The reading this morning, if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, is on page 1172, and it's Galatians 5, 13 to 26. So that's on page 1172. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with great joy that we're able to come before you this morning
to pray, to hear your word read, to hear your word explained. We pray that you would open our hearts. And we invite your Holy Spirit to come now in power and fall afresh on each and every one of us, that we might hear your still, small voice, that we may obey it, that we may have the courage to live by it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we continue our journey in Galatians, and I suppose like every good TV box set, previously in Galatians. Okay, the church in Galatia was set up by Paul and Barnabas, and shortly after it had been set up, they had left, and those who wanted to distort the message had come in. And they were adding things to it, and they were trying to take things away from it to water it down. They were primarily fixated, as we know, on the outward. And they were concerned then about drawing the new Christians into a gospel that included circumcision. And you remember Simon talking about it last week, telling us to stand firm and asking us to get angry. The entire book of Galatians is ostensibly and deliberately about freedom. It is about a freedom that the world cannot give. It is about a freedom that you cannot attain by ourselves. It is a freedom that only comes in Christ Jesus, and it is unique as such. Last week, Simon dealt with the outward, the things that were happening externally that were bothering him, hence the emphasis on the circumcision. This week, Paul, in the second half of this chapter, begins to focus on the internal. And discusses the nature of the freedom. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the nature of this freedom, the responsibilities that it impinges upon us, and the outcomes that are desirable through it. Okay? But we begin with two questions. You'll discover that I like to ask questions so that you are sitting there and perhaps interacting with it a little bit more than maybe you could or should. So, first question, and I'll give you the answer to the first question because that's the kind of guy I am. The first question is, who are you? And I want you to say, I am a child of God. Who are you? Who are you? Okay, so I want you to hold on to that, because I might ask it throughout the sermon. Who are you? Great. Next question, which you will need to decide for yourselves, the answer as we move along, is how ruthless are you? How ruthless are you? And I hope the nature of the question and the answer becomes apparent as we go through. So, first few verses there that were read for us. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Notice that you were called to freedom. You didn't do anything by yourself. You didn't decide, you know what, I'm going to be free today. I'm going to be free today. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm going to be free today. You didn't do anything by yourselves. We are incapable of doing anything by ourselves. We were called to freedom. This freedom is provided for us, and we are invited to accept it. That's the first thing. We didn't do anything by ourselves. This freedom is found in Jesus Christ alone. You cannot get it anywhere else. You can't buy it in Gordon's £1.33 pot of goodness. You can't get it anywhere other than in Jesus Christ. And it's an invitation to receive it. You can't demand it, purchase it, or squirrel it away. You must receive it because you were called to it in the first place. The second thing is that we don't use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Who likes Monopoly? Do you like board games? Who likes Monopoly? Don't you notice that when you play Monopoly, everybody makes up their own rules? Isn't that right? Isn't it? Because all of the rules as written down are impossible to understand, or you really can't be bothered, so you make up your own rules. If you come to my house, I always win Monopoly. Because, they're my rules. Okay, they're my rules. Now, in Monopoly, there's a lovely card. It's the most precious card you can get in Monopoly. And it comes, you could go around the board and you land on a square and you would go directly to do not pass and do not collect £200. That's the important bit, right? But you go directly to jail. But not if you have one of these. A get out of jail free card. So you can be sitting and you could go, yeah, you're going to jail, and you go, no, I'm not. I've got to get out of jail free card. So here's my first challenge to you. And it's actually Paul's challenge, not so much mine. We treat our faith like a get out of jail free card. We treat our faith like a get out of jail free card. And that's what he's saying there. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. As an opportunity. In other words, I'm saved, I can do what I like. Paul's concern was that salvation would become license. In other words, I'm saved, I can continue to sin. Whereas freedom in Jesus Christ is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. But Paul knew our nature, knew our sinful nature. Knew that we would seize this as an opportunity and try our best to live this double life of having and claiming our salvation, but getting on with all the lovely sinful stuff that we can do, because at the end of the day, when I stand before the Lord, I will go, ha, I've got my get out of hell free card. And so Paul is deeply challenging us not to treat our faith in this way, but he knows that the temptation to do so is huge. It's huge because of our deeply sinful nature. We'll come back to that. The product of this freedom is what? This product of freedom is love. Freedom from the law, the whole of the law was summed up in one phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. This is not a passive love. This is not a love that's all in my direction. This is a love that works from the inside out. This is a love that is shared. This is a love that cares. This is a love and freedom, therefore, that is all about service and not selfishness. Service and not selfishness. So we're free from sin, not free to sin. The product of our freedom is to love. That love is proactive. That love shares. That love cares. That love inspires. That love encourages. That love sympathizes. That love empathizes. That love surrounds each and every one of us, caring not a jot for ourselves. That love is deeply and sincerely proactive for others. Therefore, that love is relational. It is deeply relational. And this is what Paul is beginning to get at. Now, on your screen a second ago was the word, is it there, guys? It's gone off. Aphorme. Aphorme. I thought it would be good to teach you a little Greek. Everybody needs to know a little Greek, right? So this word, aphorme, is the word that is used, that is translated at the beginning of this passage for the word opportunity, or in some versions, indulge. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In some translations, indulge. The Greek word aphorme is a military term. And it is an a vantage point for the launching of an attack, a battle. This is the point at which the Greek armies would find themselves a vantage point, look down on their enemies, and attack. And it's deliberately used here because the nature of the battle, the nature of this fight, places the Christian on a war footing. And Paul knows that that battle rages internally. The stuff of circumcision was all about the external. Now we're concerned with the internal. This internal battle that rages within each and every one of us, none of us can escape it. None of us can escape it. And Paul knows it. Having dealt with this stuff about the law and circumcision and delivered freedom and explained freedom, he knows that that places us in a hugely vulnerable position to take it for granted. And so he describes it as a battle that's going on inside. A fierce battle. And he uses his Greek word, aphorme, to set up the rest of the passage. And it's a marvelous, marvelous passage. He says, verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom not to continue to sin. Freedom produces love, which is proactive. Deeply relational. How are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to win this war? What tools do we have? What weapons do we have at our side in order to do this? How can we possibly win this war where our sinful, selfish nature is in constant battle with sin? Well, we need the Holy Spirit. And Paul now begins to talk us through the product of the sinful nature and the product of a fruitful Christian who is constantly fighting this battle in the power of the Spirit. A battle that is incredibly tough, that is inevitable for each and every one of us. None of us can escape. So we're best to be prepared for it. He says, if I walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he then makes out, he tells us what those desires of the flesh and the product of the flesh are. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. All of those things make for broken relationships. We are deeply relational. Christ came to resolve the relationship first between us and God and then between ourselves. That's how he works, through our relations with others. If we're not walking in the Spirit, this battle will consume us, and the product of the battle will be those awful things which I have described, which can be boiled down to disastrous relationships. And our kingdom grows through good relationships, not disastrous relationships. Therefore, he puts us on a war footing, and he warns us of what's coming our way should we indulge the sinful nature in the freedom that we have received and have been called to. Then he goes on. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We don't need laws to say you're patient. We don't need laws to say you're gentle. We don't need laws to say you love someone. We don't need laws to say I'm joyous. People recognize it in us through our relationships. But the fruit of the Spirit, all these things make for good relationships. But in our Christian lives, this tense battle is going on. And we get it in simple things, in how we react to others, in how we talk to others, our body language. All of these things speak of the Christ within us and the tension that's going on between our sinful nature and the Spirit. The good news is we won. The battle was won. Christ won. He will come again. He will take us with him. We won. But in the meantime, this battle goes on. Some of the most beautiful things I've seen, I've traveled a lot, are actually the fruit trees in my sister's garden. My sister lives in Greece. Aphorme is about the third Greek word I've learned in 15 years, apart from all the theological bits. She has fig leaves, fig trees in her garden. And she has olives in her garden. And she makes her own olive oil. It's lovely stuff. But the fruit of a tree isn't for the tree's consumption, is it? No. The fruit of a tree is for others to consume. So the fruit of a life in Christ isn't for us. It's for others. Who are you? Oh, you've forgotten. Who are you? Who are you? Okay, you are a child of God. You are children of God. So the fruit that we produce in Christ isn't for us, it's for others. In our relationships, that in something of those relationships, they might glimpse in you something of him. Here's the problem. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Simply put, at the cross, all of that stuff was dealt with. Crucified. Destroyed. Done. Dusted. apart from this little battle which goes on all the time, asking us daily to take our sinful nature to the cross. We've just declared our faith. We've declared our sinfulness. We've received God's forgiveness, and we do it daily, or we should do it daily, in order to prepare ourselves for this battle, this ongoing, raging torrent within us that is ultimately visible in our relationships. So my question about how ruthless you are speaks to the nature of commanders at war in their ruthlessness in completing the battle, in executing the warfare. Because I want to know how ruthless you're going to be every day in nailing those sinful parts of your life to the cross every morning. I want to know how ruthless you will be in getting sin out of your lives and claiming Christ crucified on a daily basis, claiming the victory that has already been won. Because who are you? And doesn't it strange that we need to be constantly reminded to remember that we're children of God? That we need to remember who we are in order to be ruthless against the sin which threatens to destroy our relational aspect of our life in Christ that's all about bringing others to Him through love. So who are you? How ruthless are you going to be? You need to be completely and utterly ruthless. Banish sin. Seek it out. Search it. Destroy it at the cross. Because you and I are children of God. And this freedom is not a get out of jail free card. This freedom is about love. And this freedom is about loving you and me. And this freedom was won at huge cost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. A huge, mighty, big, powerful God. We give you thanks that you call us to be free. We pray that you equip us. Equip us, Father, for the battle today and tomorrow. That in all our relationships, those who see us may see you. That your love for us and our love for you would radiate from our faces, would be visible in our thoughts and words and deeds. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.